walking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop.
Will you be rocking a Christmas tree this year? Will you be getting one this weekend? I'm Joy Curtin. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, November 27th. I hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving, and I wonder if you, like many people, are going to make an outing this weekend to pick out a Christmas tree. Go to one of Wisconsin's many Christmas tree farms and chop one down yourself. It's a tradition in many families. Is it in yours? What will you be looking for? We'll get some tips on picking out the perfect tree, and we will welcome your questions and your Christmas tree tradition stories at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Curtin Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Curtin Show. Our guest is Cheryl Nicholson, the Executive Secretary of the Wisconsin Christmas Tree Producers Association. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is your tradition in your family? Do you go out and chop down your own Christmas tree?
Well, I do have a real tree, but I don't typically go chop it down anymore because I have three sons that, you know, I can call on one of them to get that
right
done.
That was something that we did when I was growing up. Not every year, but many years, we would go out and get our own tree. And it was just a wonderful memory. I have to admit right now, in the spirit of full disclosure, I do not get a tree at all. My husband and I don't have children, but we've had many pets over the years that would knock down Christmas trees. So we decided just not to do it at all.
Sure, sure. And that, there's a lot of families that are also in that same position. They just don't have a tree.
But I did see a survey, and it says more than 94 American households, or 79% of all households in the United States, will display a Christmas tree in their home this holiday season. So I'm in the minority.
Yeah, this sounds like it.
Yeah. So what do you think... What do you think explains the appeal of having a real tree versus a fake tree?
I think the real tree being a tradition. You know, you go back growing up, the fake tree hasn't been around very long, and people, you know, families have gone out for generations, you know, to go get a tree, either out in their own property and or out in the wild, and you know, now trees are grown on farms, so they go out to farms. So I think it's a big part of tradition.
Yeah, but I'm looking here that most American households are, or more American households anyway, are opting for an artificial tree. So what's your response to that?
I think it's a matter of convenience for them. You know, people are so mobile, they're busy, they're working a lot, or they're traveling. And the artificial tree for them is a lot easier.
Yeah. And you make the case that a real tree is better for the environment than an artificial one.
Oh, definitely. You know, the tree is growing. It's providing green space. You know, we all like to have space to go out and run around. You know, there's parks to do that, and there's tree farms to do that. You know, they're growing. They're providing oxygen for us. They're cleaning the air. And they're recyclable once they're used up.
Yeah, the birds like them and other critters.
Yeah, there's a lot of wildlife. You'll find wild turkeys and deer and a lot of birds and even rodents out in the tree farm.
Yeah, so, you know, but I have to admit, some people think, gee, I love trees and certainly I love Christmas trees, but I feel bad about chopping one down just for a few weeks in my house.
Well, and that's why we grow them on farms. You know, it's like growing pumpkins or growing fresh flowers. They're made to be cut. You know, when they're grown on the farms, they space them about 6 feet apart. So once the trees get to be 6 to 8 feet tall, they're starting to touch each other. So they have to be cut in order to keep, you know, grow properly. The intention is to cut them and then plant more.
Yeah. So is it... the goal of the Wisconsin Christmas Tree Producers Association to turn those numbers around and make more people pick real trees as opposed to artificial trees?
Oh, that's always our goal.
So is this still a big weekend for people to go out to the Christmas tree farms or to the Christmas tree lots?
Yeah, this is the biggest weekend typically. The first and second weekends after Thanksgiving are the biggest weekends for tree sales and for people to get out and get a tree. You know, I think a lot of people want to get it up because once Christmas comes, then it's time to get it down. So, you know, if you have it up for 3-4 weeks, that's just a time to enjoy it.
Yeah. So when is the best time to go Christmas tree shopping? Right now?
I would say as soon as it gets light out. Most farms open around 9 o'clock, some a little earlier, but a lot of the farms will be open today. In fact, I can say pretty much all of them will be open today, starting today. So you can go out today and, you know, during daylight hours, basically, if you're going to a farm. If you go to a retail lot, they may be open later because they'll have lights set up, so after dark you'll still be able to see.
Mm-hmm. How many Christmas tree farms are there in Wisconsin, approximately?
We've got over 850 farms.
Holy cow!
Yeah,
it's a big deal in Wisconsin.
It is a big deal. Wisconsin ranks 5th in the number of trees that are cut, and in the number of acres that Christmas trees are growing on. So we've got a lot of trees in Wisconsin.
Yeah. So what's the best selling type of Christmas tree?
I believe it's still the balsam fir. The Fraser fir is getting right up there. You know, they're competing hand in hand. So between the firs, it's probably number one.
Well, tell us about the balsam. What are the characteristics of the balsam, and why is that so popular?
The balsam is native to Wisconsin, so that's what people are familiar with, and that's what maybe their parents or grandparents got from the wild woods in Wisconsin. And it's got a short needle, fairly flat. It's very fragrant, so it's enjoyable. You know, the fragrance is enjoyable. Spacing of the tree, right now, you know, we shear them so they get a little tighter. If you're picking a wild tree, it may be more open-looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then why is the Fraser close on the heels of the balsam?
Yeah, Fraser is very similar in how it looks. The branches are a little heavier, and the needles grow more around the branch instead of looking as flat. And the needle retention on the Fraser is a lot better, so the needles aren't going to fall off the branch. You know, even when they start to get dry, you know, on a Fraser fir wreath, they'll start to get dry, but the needles aren't falling off. They're just kind of stuck on there.
Mm-hmm. And are those pretty much the top two?
I believe they are in this area. In different parts of the United States, it's probably a little different.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of the white pine. Isn't that native to Wisconsin, too?
Yes, it is. And, you know, we sell a few white pine, but the trend has gone away from that. There are farms that still sell that, and they still sell a few Scotch pine, just not as many as they used to.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's just consumer preference. You know, the people like to change occasionally. But then there's also, you know, there's people that like to do what they've always done. I mean, I have a cousin that they've always bought a Scotch pine when she was little, so that is her favorite tree. So I think tradition just plays a lot into that.
Yeah. So how do we select the perfect tree if we are at a farm?
How do we pick out a perfect tree?
Yes.
Oh, it's what you want. You know, everybody has a different perception. The perfect tree to me may not be the same to you. So some people like an open tree so they can hang a lot of stuff. Some people like it really dense, which I like. I don't like to see through it. And how wide it is, you're looking at where you're going to put it in your house, how it's going to fit. So the perfect tree is different, I think, for everybody.
Yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah, it seems to me that I remember looking at a tree and saying, oh, this looks beautiful, but then the other side would not be so beautiful. But you just push that against the wall if you want to.
Right. And if you have limited space, it's nice to have a side that's a little bit less full so you can kind of squish it up there.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. You do have to maybe have the measurements in mind. There have been trees, I believe, in our house where the crown of the tree or the top of the tree was bent over because we didn't measure correctly.
You know, and out in the field, when you're outside, the trees look smaller than they really are because of the big wide open space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's easy to pick a tree that's 2 feet taller than you need it. But, you know, if you do that, you get it home, you can use the branches and decorate your house too. But, you know, it's good to know, like, stand in your house, raise your hand. Okay, now if the ceiling is that much farther away, you can kind of gauge it when you're in the field, you know, if you want to do it by your height.
Good idea. That's a good idea. We are talking about Christmas trees, real Christmas trees, and wondering if you are going to set out this weekend to find your real Christmas tree. Do you get a real Christmas tree, or have you opted for the artificial? If you do get a real one, why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, you give us so much pleasure.
We are talking about Christmas trees this hour and wondering if it is a tradition in your family to go out maybe on this Thanksgiving holiday weekend to one of Wisconsin's many Christmas tree farms and cut down your own Christmas tree. Or maybe you opt to go to a lot to choose the real deal. We are talking with a guest about picking out the perfect tree, and we'll talk more about keeping it safe and healthy once we are home. We are welcoming your questions and your Christmas tree traditions. Do you opt for the real deal or not? And why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Cheryl Nicholson, the Executive Secretary of the Wisconsin Christmas Tree Producers Association. And Chuck and Eagle joins us. Hello, Chuck.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling. It sounds like you go out to a Christmas tree farm.
Oh, yes. It's going to be year 25 for my family, and it's just a real enjoyable and relaxing morning, kind of tied in with a few other things, stopping for breakfast on the way home. But, you know, the thing with the Christmas tree farms, the ones we go to, they're all so beautiful, it takes us all 15 minutes to find the perfect tree.
Oh, because all the trees are perfect.
Right.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And as far as artificial trees, and this is my opinion, artificial trees make an artificial holiday, so I have no use for them.
So, Chuck, was this something that was a tradition in your family growing up, and you made it one in yours, or how did that work?
Well, I grew up in Chicago, so we would go down to the corner lot and get the real tree, and then as I went off to college, my parents stopped that, got the artificial tree, and my freshman year, and I came home, it was like, wait a minute, this is wrong. So I went out, got a real tree, brought it home, undecorated the artificial tree, decorated the real tree, and then my parents continued with the real tree. So it was a tradition, stopped 1 year, and we got it back.
Yeah, well, that's great. Are you going out this weekend?
We go the second weekend, avoid the crowds.
Oh.
There's so many beautiful trees, we're not worried.
And are you going to get a balsam, or what are you going to get?
Like the balsam, yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing your Christmas tree tradition, and I that's music to your ears, Cheryl?
Yeah, that's great. That's good.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about how do we choose the best farm if we want to go to a farm, or how do we prepare for this adventure if we haven't done it before?
The first thing, you could go to our association website. We do have a list of choose and cut farms on the website, and they're listed by region. Like Region 1 is down by southeastern Milwaukee area, and there's 12 regions in the state. So you could pick one that's close to your house. On our listing, it tells you when they're open, the days, the hours, and also what kind of other things might be going on. Some places have gift shops, or they have Santa coming. They give away treats for the kids, different activities. So if you look at what the farm offers, and depending on how much time you want to spend there, you know, you could spend the whole day if there's a lot of activities for kids and things to do.
Yeah, and do we have to dress in a certain way? Do we need to bring our own saw?
Well, a lot of places will provide a saw because, you know, people don't always have that. But, yeah, you want to dress as if you're going to be outside all day. Check the weather, especially having really good footwear. Boots are always a good plan. When it's rainy today, it may not be a great day to do it, but maybe tomorrow it sounds like it'll be beautiful. So just check the weather and take extra clothes, especially for your kids, because, you know, they're going to get cold faster. But that it's something to enjoy just being outside.
Yeah. And you just walk around and pick a tree that that suits you, and you just saw it down. Is there any tricks to, is there any tricks to picking out that tree in terms of, feeling the needles or to make sure it's a healthy tree?
Well, in the fields, a lot of farms cut out the bad trees. You know, they're not going to be trees standing out there that aren't saleable typically. Sometimes you may come across one if there's a lot of acres. But, yeah, you can tell if it's not cold and, you know, below freezing outside, the trees will be really soft and pliable. Once it freezes, they're going to be more brittle because they get stiffer because the sap, you know, gets colder. So basically looking at it and touching it, feeling it, you will find dead needles under the tree because that's a normal process. Every year the inside needles will drop. You know, one more year of needles will drop. So it'll grow a set of branches, and then the inside needles will drop. So every year that happens. So that finding dead needles is a common, it's a normal thing.
And so what about on the lot? If we're not actually going to a Christmas tree farm but picking one off a lot, are there any tips on selecting a healthy one anyway?
Well, it's kind of the same thing. You just take a look at it and really scrutinize it, and if it looks like, oh, maybe not, that one just doesn't look quite as nice as this other one, pick the nicer one.
Mm-hmm. All right, so once we get our tree, we saw it down, then, are you going to help me rope that thing on the top of my car?
Yeah, I think the sawing part, that's the hard part, too. You kind of chuckled because that is a little challenging sometimes. Then once you get it out, some tree farms give you a wagon ride out to the farm. Some of them let you drive around closer to where you may cut your tree. Many farms will provide some twine and help you to get your tree tied up there. But there's also some that will bale the tree, and by baling it, they're bringing the branches in and wrapping some twine around it so it's more of a cone shaped and real tight, and then it's really easy to tie in your car.
Yeah, well, that's good. All right, so we once we get home, then what should we do to make sure the tree stays healthy in our living room?
Well, once you're home, if you're going to put it up right away, if it's been less than an hour, you could go ahead and put it up. You want to make sure the trunk is cut perpendicular. The cut is perpendicular to the trunk, because if it's angled, there's going to be less room for it to grab water from the tree stand. It'll run out of water faster that it can access.
Oh, yeah.
So if it's been longer than an hour, if you left your tree, you know, you don't want to put it up right away. You could set it in the corner of your garage, or outside in the shade. Don't put it in the sun. And then bring it in, but you want to make that fresh cut. And you want to cut about half an inch off, because that cuts off the sap that's collected at the end of the stump and then allows for water to be taken into the tree.
Let me stop you there. So when I bring it home, I should put it in the, I don't know, the garage or some area in the shade and let it just hang out there for at least an hour?
No. If you don't intend to put it up right away.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you don't have time or you're going to do it later, you can just set it someplace where it's cool.
Okay, but you don't want the sun on it, you said.
Right, because the sun's going to dry out the branches. You know, like, you know, you feel the heat yourself, it's going to do that to the tree too.
I see. But if we're just it's there's no problem hauling that thing right away but do give it a fresh cut even if we set it up right away.
If it's within an hour, you don't need to.
Oh, I see.
But
okay.
If it's after that, yeah, it doesn't hurt to cut off about half an inch.
Yeah. All right. So then do we have to, anything special about keeping it watered?
Yeah, that's pretty important. It's very, very important to keep it watered. And, you know, right now, because we're getting so much rain, the trees may not be quite as thirsty once you get them in the house. You never know. Sometimes you put that tree in the stand and you have to water it 3 times that day. You know, the first 2-3 days, you check it, you know, at least 3 times a day because it will drink water sometimes and you're amazed, like, wow, that's gone already. But if the biggest stand that you, the water holding stand that you can get is the best option. You know, the larger the tree, the bigger the stand, the more water it's going to use. So the important thing is always keep it in water.
Let's take a call from Ray in Wausau. Hi, Ray.
Well, good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. Nice to speak with you, Joy.
Yeah, nice to have you call in, Ray, and I love your name.
Oh, thank you. It's old, actually.
Okay.
An old name. Old Irish short form of Rachel.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your Christmas tree story?
I have a great way to preserve natural trees that I stumbled across. One year I was thinking about Egyptians, probably from a book I was reading or something, and how they preserve their dead people, their corpses. And what I did was, what is done is you put a couple of good splashes of clove oil into enough water to fill the bowl for your tree. Make sure the tree has a fresh cut off the end, like you were talking about. And put the whole thing, fill it up, take it right off from boiling and give it to the tree. And it goes right up into all the veins of the tree and preserves it. And then just keep the bowl, keep adding water. And the last time I did that, I had the tree up for 59 days.
Wow. And it's kept its needles pretty well?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really something. And so clove oil, and you just do the clove oil the one time and that's it. Interesting. Have you heard of that trick, Cheryl?
No, I've never heard of clove oil.
Now, is there anything you would recommend we put in the water for, I don't know, to help the tree out?
No, we actually don't recommend putting anything in it. There's been some studies done by one of the universities out east, and they do a lot of Christmas tree research, and they've found that really just adding water to the stand is very effective.
Mm-hmm. How long might we expect a tree to last with good care?
Well, easily 3 to 4 weeks, unless it was, you know, a tree that maybe was compromised when you brought it in. Sometimes trees, because they're natural and they're, you know, growing, some are going to last better than others. It's like buying flowers at the store. You think, oh, I'm going to keep these, and all of a sudden, 2 days later, they look terrible. Sometimes you just don't know.
Yeah. But, so it's going to last certainly through Christmas, but then it usually is post-Christmas, it's time to throw that thing into the backyard.
Yes, definitely. Especially if it's, you notice that it's starting to get dry, that it's not absorbing any more water. You don't want to leave it in the house too much after that.
Yeah, and no real candles on the tree as ornaments.
Oh no, that's a no no.
Remember that in the old days, people did that.
Yeah, that's a German tradition, wasn't it? Years ago, and it's just a lot safer to have good lights, and you know the LED lights nowadays, because they burn cool, they're not hot lights. That helps a lot because then it's not heating up the tree, too.
Yeah, I was going to say that we don't have to worry about, as long as we keep the tree watered and we have modern lights and no candles, there's really not a fire danger with a real tree?
No, there's not.
We are talking with Cheryl Nicholson. She is the Executive Secretary of the Wisconsin Christmas Tree Producers Association. This is a Christmas tree edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. Do you go to a Christmas tree farm to to get your Christmas tree? Is this a family tradition, or are you planning this weekend or next going to a lot to get your Christmas tree? Are you a fan of the real deal, or have you turned to artificial? Tell us what your Christmas tree traditions are. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. If you have any questions about tree care or picking out the perfect tree, or if you just have some stories and traditions that you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. We have Elizabeth who says, we usually went to a Christmas tree farm and cut down our tree a few weeks before Christmas. If we ever got a pre-tree from, I don't know what that means, from a sale lot, we felt cheated. My computer just dropped out when I was reading that. But I guess she feels going to the, actually that's what she's saying, going to the farm is, to her, more satisfying than going to a lot. A response, Cheryl?
Yeah, she was talking about a pre-cut tree, you know, that's already been cut and then taken to a retail lot. And, you know, for those who live in the city, you know, going to a retail lot is convenient for them. And, you know, still it helps because you don't have as much time to run to a farm, or the farms are farther away. Or you've moved from Wisconsin or Michigan and you're so used to having that real tree that all you can get is you have to go to a retail lot to get what you're used to having, you know, if you're living somewhere else. So a retail lot has the pre-cut trees, and the farms actually have both. A lot of farms also have pre-cut trees in a display area that you can choose from.
Let's go back to the phones. I think we're having some issues going on here. Danielle in Lake Mills. Okay, now it's working. Hi, Danielle.
Hi. I actually have a question and a comment. The comment is that I was converted by my husband from an artificial tree to a real tree, and our new tradition is each year when we take our tree home and cut that little bit off the bottom, we actually put the year on, we like Sharpie the year on it, and then hang it on the next tree. So we have like a little bit of the tree from the year before on our new tree.
Isn't that nice?
That is really cool.
It's a cool new little tradition we made up. But the one question I have, my husband and I were talking about this yesterday because we're planning to get our tree today. Does it matter if we put the tree near a vent, like a heating or cooling vent? Will that dry out the tree faster?
Actually, it's better not to put it near a vent.
Okay.
Especially if it's blowing the warm air into the house. That will dry it faster than if it's not near the vent, because the air is moving past it and it'll transpire more, more moisture. So if it's at the intake where it's the air is going into the furnace, it's not quite as bad. You'll have air movement, but it's not the warm air blowing on it.
Okay, so don't put it near the heating vent. We'll have to find a new place for our tree this year.
Yeah, it's best if you could at least scoot it over, or just close the vent or cover the vent so it's not blowing directly on the tree, too.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks very much. I think that's such a nice tradition to use that little piece of the bottom of the tree and make it an ornament with the rest of your ornaments.
That is cool, and I like the way she said she was converted.
Yeah, that's right. Chris called. He said, I live in an apartment, and I got a potted tree. In the spring, I planted it in my parents' yard, and now 40 years later, it's a full-size tree. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Potted trees are a great option. We have just a minute before a news break. If you do have a small apartment, potted trees, or is there itty-bitty baby trees?
Yeah, you could find them. They're not as common around here, but you may be able to find them at a garden center, someplace like that, that you could take a potted tree home.
I think that's sweet. We are talking about Christmas trees, and we're welcoming your questions about Christmas trees. We're welcoming any experiences or traditions you'd like to share when it comes to your Christmas tree. Are you going to go out and chop one down this weekend? That's a tradition in many families. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Voices singing, let's be jolly, deck the halls with boughs of holly.
What kind of a tree is that?
You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
I told you he'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
Rats!
Poor Charlie Brown. He picked out a bad tree. We're talking about picking out the perfect for you Christmas tree with Cheryl Nicholson, the executive secretary of the Wisconsin Christmas Tree Producers Association. Wondering if, with Thanksgiving being over, are you setting out to find your Christmas tree in the coming weeks, maybe even this weekend? We're talking about what to look for when picking a tree, how to keep your tree safe and healthy once it's home, and we're welcoming your questions and your experiences. Where do you go for your tree? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next caller is Nikki in Toma. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Joy.
Hi.
I love the conversation, getting ready for the holidays. My family has recently moved to Toma in the last 3 years, and we've found the Christmas tree farm in Mindoro to be our new favorite place. My daughter was just about 3 last year, so we've started letting her pick out the tree. So, it was a little bit shorter than we were expecting and not exactly perfect, but she was very, very proud of it. So we will probably continue that tradition as well. She turns 4 the week before Christmas.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. And then our other favorite tradition is we cut the tree up into logs, and then that's our first bonfire for the summer.
Oh, well, that's a great idea, too. And do you keep the tree up just out in the backyard until then?
Yep, yep. All the critters like it, and it kind of helps it, you know, just it's just kind of fun. We have some the little pine cones with the bird seeds, or the peanut butter with the bird seeds. For my daughter likes to make those and hang those on the tree as well.
And what kind of tree do you like the best?
I like the long needles, so usually white pine or the Scotch pine as well.
All right, thank you very much, Nikki. Appreciate it. Cheryl, a reaction?
I think that sounds like a good idea, that having your daughter pick it out, that's pretty special, because, you know, sometimes it can be an argument about what tree is going to go in the house. So, you know, you just got to kind of let go of your perception and say, you know what, any tree really is good, because you can kind of work with it and decorate it and hang ornaments where you didn't think you could. And it's a good idea to just have a fun time with it.
Yeah, I love it that that they let their toddler pick out the tree, and maybe it wouldn't have been the tree they picked out, but she gets to pick.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. Mm. You know, and then there's making those peanut butter pine cone treats. That is a fun idea too. It keeps the kids busy when they're not going to school after Christmas. You know, they can make these little treats and hang them outside for the birds, and the birds love to have a tree for shelter. You know, the bushy Christmas trees make great shelter when there's not much else around, so they really love, they flock to that.
So we had a caller who wondered if you had any advice regarding ornaments. Should we avoid burdening trees with heavy ornaments?
Some trees' branches are not as strong, so, and, you know, like white pine, for instance, the branch is a little bit softer, so hanging a heavy ornament would be a little bit harder to get it to stay in place. When you have a larger tree, you're going to have sturdier branches. So depending on which tree you're doing, it might dictate what kind of ornaments you're going to use.
Yeah. Let's go to Dale and Nina now. Hi, Dale.
Morning.
Morning.
Well, my dad had a rather unusual tradition. When we lived in Fontana, my dad always liked real trees. But after my brothers and I moved out of the house, he didn't really think it was right to cut a live tree down for the couple days that we'd be home for Christmas. But we had a beautiful pine tree right outside the patio. So when we came home at Thanksgiving, we'd throw the lights on it. And then when he wanted the tree, he could just flip the switch and light the tree. And for presents, we'd put the presents in front of the patio door so it looked like it was underneath the tree.
And that's a good idea. That's neat.
It lasted for quite a few years until the tree got too tall to decorate the top of it.
So did you put ornaments on there, too, or just lights?
No, we didn't. We just strung lights on it.
Yeah. And then it would get snow, so it had its own ornaments.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Dale. We are talking about Christmas trees with Cheryl Nicholson, Executive Secretary of the Wisconsin Christmas Tree Producers Association. We started off talking about how big this industry is in Wisconsin. And Trainer, you said more than 800 Christmas tree farms in Wisconsin.
Yes, there are. We've decreased from what it was in the past, but there's farms are still out there, and you'll find really small ones. You might find some that are only 5 acres, and then you'll find some that are 200 acres.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask you. If the Christmas trees farms as an industry, and maybe as an industry, if it's growing or shrinking or holding steady?
We've been shrinking a little bit over the last 10 years. It's as far as sales of trees, it's been up and down, relatively steady over the last 5 years. So we're trying to keep people, in the tradition of getting a real tree, because that's a part of our economy. We have farmers that are doing this for that reason, and they're hiring people. So it's, the industry is providing jobs. So we're hoping that it can continue.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to find out the story. Oh, there it is. It's the state capitol's Christmas tree came from Rhinelander, but I don't know what kind it was. Was it a balsam, as far as you know?
Usually it's a balsam fir, because that they have to get it in those doors at the capitol, and the balsam is flexible enough that they can get it through those narrow doors. So that's what they try to find.
Yeah. Let's take one last call. Jane in Wausau. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Joy. I just want to share a little teeny story. My brother-in-law, Bob Brooks, died of ALS recently.
I'm sorry.
But in the past years, he would always go to his family farm in Green Lake and cut a tree for the family. And they were not bad trees. But one year, I don't know what happened. It was about 5 years ago. We walked into their house in Wausau, and they had it all decorated. And he had actually had to drill holes into the trunk and insert branches from another tree because it was such a pathetic tree.
Oh, no. Seriously?
Yes, but it made it really special, too.
Yeah. We won't have to do that, though, Cheryl, will we?
Well, no. It sounds like he had a Charlie Brown tree.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, everybody has a different perception of what they want, and maybe that was a year he just decided, I'll just get that one, or maybe he didn't want to walk very far, so you just never know.
Yeah. So any last-minute advice for us if we are going to go out to a Christmas tree farm this weekend or next to pick out our tree?
Well, measure your ceiling height, for sure. Wear warm clothes. Have some fun, take your family, enjoy being outside, and just have a good time.
Yeah, and where are you going to get your tree from this year?
I'm getting it from my dad. My dad owns a tree farm at Poinette, and my youngest son works there for him, so he'll be down there helping Grandpa. But they have the choose and cut farm, so hopefully my son will bring one home.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
Cheryl Nicholson, Executive Secretary of the Wisconsin Christmas Tree Producers Association. It's time now for Wisconsin Life. And for many of us, Christmas trees come to mind for only a short part of the winter holiday season. For Bill and Judy Summers of Middleton, Wisconsin, it means spending a lot of time with Christmas trees, the whole year, in fact. From early spring all the way through December 24th, the Summers make sure they have the highest quality and widest variety of Christmas trees available for their customers at Summers Christmas Tree Farm.
The trail goes up to the right and back 40 acres and then...
I'm Bill Summers.
I'm Judy Summers, and we are Summers Christmas Tree Farm in Middleton, Wisconsin.
Well, Bill's father bought the farm, so to speak, back in 1949, and their first Christmas trees that were cut were in 1957. We're choose and cut, which means you come out, we give you a saw and send you out to 130 acres. And to seek your fortune, and some of the new ones that come in, I'll go out and tell them, now you go out and find that perfect tree, and if it's perfect to you, it's the one. Bring it back, make me proud.
Well, right now I've got about 20 or 21 varieties of miscellaneous Christmas trees, mostly spruce and fir.
He likes to experiment.
I do. They're different looking trees. We've got Korean fir, we've got concolor fir. I have Nordman and Turkish fir coming. And in the 80s, Martha Stewart said Fraser fir was the only tree to have, and boom. And we had people coming up here that just, where's your Fraser fir field? I don't know what it looks like.
But I know it's pretty
good. Yeah. I grew up here.
This is you.
I know about every inch of the 200 acres.
He knows every tree.
I can lose myself up here. Nobody can find me.
And a lot of people, I think, like to come out to cut a tree for the quiet. When we've had a first big snowfall, there's usually the first person to put the first steps in the snow. And it's quiet. They're away from the phone. Well, they may have their cell phone. But other than that, you know, the hubbub, the traffic, and the noise of everyday living. And it's just nice to have a little peace. You know, everybody needs peace.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a collaboration between Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, you can visit our website at wisconsinlife.org and find us on Facebook. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up in our next hour, we will talk about Black Friday and other trends in holiday shopping with a guest retail expert. That's coming up in our next hour. Are you going to be shopping today, or are you purposely avoiding shopping today? Let us know in our next hour. Coming up Monday at this time, it's been an unusually warm autumn. We'll wonder what the winter holds in store for us weather-wise. We'll welcome in a guest meteorologist on Monday to talk about the winter we might expect. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
All Christmas tree, you give us so much pleasure. You do not fade with winter snow.